So we're holding here middle of Perek Aleph. We've changed the print that we used last time. Was a very exotic and rare print. It was of interest to people that are collectors, but I think it was hard to follow. This one over here, I've copied out of, it's the one that Rav Yeshua Hartman has from Mechon Yerushalayim. It's a very, very, very nice structure. In other words, it's laid out very well. It's missing, he has tremendous amount of Hagos and Horus on the bottom. I didn't think, A, that I would have permission to photocopy all that, and B, he also, it's overwhelming a little bit. It's most of the page. But you just have to bear in mind, you go column to column and then the next one and so on. That's the way, it's the best we could do. I think we're holding Ukvar B'Aaron. It's like, it would be on page two of this one. On the third piece, says Lamed Gimel, the right hand side, Ukvar B'Aaron. I'll just review briefly the what he said before. He was explaining that everything in the world has a specific function. The function that it has is very much totally with what its metzias is, and everything has the things that it's uniquely suited for. That's its mission and its accomplishment. The all Baal HaChayim have things that fit them perfectly. Even though mankind has a lot of obligations and needs in terms of Parnassa, and he uses his mind and his body to produce Parnassa, but that can't be the only or the main accomplishment of a person, because that's basically overlaps with every other Baal Chayim. He's not different than a horse or a chamor and so on. So the bottom piece on the right hand side, Ukvar B'Aaron, on page 2. Ukvar B'Aaron ki efsa shaliyah lodam pulos ashe misyachsim el nafshoi ashe isha nefsa loikis. We said that it's impossible for a person to have activities that don't, to not have activities that will address his nefesh, which is a locus. V'imkeinish eres ha-sheila, eizei ma'pulos ha-myuchodos lo, what are the unique activities? Ha-mesiachsos ha-ba-malosim ha-sheish ha-nefesh sichli. Lo yeshur lo yimarach ki ha-pulos ha-mesiachsos al-ma'as nafshay ha-pulos ha-locus. So we have to say they are the divine activities, ve-mitzvah sa-torah. So what makes what's suitable for a person are these activities that are a locus, those are uniquely suited for a person, and so on and so forth. I want to talk about this and explain a certain nekuda over here that people say a lot, and I don't think they really understand it. We say that a person has a nefesh, a locus, he has a divine soul. What does that mean? Since we don't know what a nefesh is, we don't know what a locus is, we're stuck a bit. It doesn't give us much more information when I say a person has a divine soul. If we don't really know what a soul is, we don't know what divine is. So what sense does it mean over here? He also says these are pe'ulos that are miyuchad, the pe'ulos a locus, it's a mitzvah satorah, and so on. So let's try to explain the point over here. What does it mean that these pulos and chodos? It sounds quite right, you know. Yes, we're doing mitzvahs and so on. When we ask ourselves, this world has a certain structure, and it's a circle, sort of a universe in a mathematical sense, a structure that includes all the elements of the world as we know them, as we're acquainted with them. And these are physical things. They make sense on a physical level. They have laws on a physical level. That's the metzias. That's what we call the world, the teva. Teva means the world as we're acquainted with it. Everything in the world has ways. What's this animal? This is an elephant. It has X amount of protoplasm, these type of genes, these type of activities come out, and I've described it. I can describe everything in this world within this world's laws of nature. There are no activities that don't fit into the box, and that's how I describe everything. Everything is described you know, within this box. These are atoms, these are molecules, these are energy, this is that, and so on and so forth. There are things that I have a very hard time, there are things that I cannot in any way explain within the physical world. And those are the elements that we would call mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are not explainable within the world. When in the early in the early stages, when science sort of began to move away from philosophy, one of the pioneers, I think it was called Adelaide of Bath, if I'm not mistaken, proposed that science, what they called natural philosophy in those days, needs to be totally self-contained. It has to be able to explain itself within the context of the rest of the world. And modern science is that way. It's a closed system. Everything fits in. So why drinking tea is a pleasurable activity? It's a physical activity. Putting a china onto the fire to get it to boil is a way in which to get tea. Those are all things. So I don't enjoy putting the pot on the fire, but that's the way to get the tea here. Giving the tea to somebody else, if I'm doing it because I want a favor in return, then fine. Here's the tea, give me something else. But if I'm just doing it out of goodness, goodness doesn't explain itself with any other context. I can reduce goodness. I can say favor for a favor. Kedai, spread the favors, you'll get them back. So that's, then I've reduced it back to the system. I can say it makes me feel good, so sort of I'm in the system. We'll see in a second if it's true or not. And then you can really, really twist yourself into a pretzel if you're an evolutionary scientist and say evolution put it into our genes because it would work better for everybody if everybody did favors to everybody else. Basically meaning it's a vestige. It's really something that doesn't belong in us, but what can you do? We got corrupted, and maybe Lost with Love, we'll become perfect again, and we'll stop doing favors. But basically, that's the mahalach in it. So we have a range of activities that are activities that don't fit into this box. The first person to be omed on this was the Nachash and Adam. The Nachash told Adam, if you'll eat from the fruits, you'll be kelokim, yodea tov v'ra. To you, tov and ra is not, I know this is labeled tov, this is labeled tov, this is labeled ra, this is labeled very ra. But I don't have any deher in the tov of this and in the ra of this. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it. In other words, it's a concept that's meaningful only within the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the Herk of Yahu. It's an HaKadosh Baruch Hu idea. It's divine in the sense that it's not part of this world, it's interjected in this world from a different Metzias. That's called Elikus. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is called Tov, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want is called Ra. Now, to be honest, it does break through in some degree. Let's explain it. L'mashal, let's say you have in a lab, you want to trace the path of an electron. Electron, you can't see, you can't hear, you can't do anything with an electron. But if you release it in a cloud chamber, the cloud, the vapor will form, will part away, whatever it is, where the electron went through it, you'll see it, you'll notice it. So I can't see it directly, but I have a way of tagging it so that I can get a sense of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed a person with one chelik of himself. My tongue can taste the tea sweet. That's physical. My seichel can figure out how to make tea. That's still within the realm of the physical. And then there's a part of me that feels right when I give the tea to the stranger that needs it, to the Torah that needs it. That chelik of the person is called the Nefesh Elokis. It means it's the part of the person that has sensitivity to things that are alikus. It deheres toiv, it deheres ra, it can't really, we can't, Seichel doesn't formulate it, but we do the Heret. I think I once said over, there's an Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, I once said over, he says by David HaMelech, it says that when he snuck up behind Shaul, and Shaul was sleeping, he cut a piece of his garment. He wanted to prove to him that he could kill him, and he's, you know, not. So it says, Vayach Lev David. His heart skipped a beat, and he desisted. So it also explains that, he says, David HaMelech's doifik, his pulse, was a doifik to Kedusha. It was kadosh. And if it skipped a beat, then it was wrong. In other words, his seichel didn't pass in the shaila yet, but his heart felt queasy, and therefore he said it can't be right, because he had worked himself in a way where he had a sensitivity. So I want to clarify in the kudu, because this is something even, you know, the world around. People speak about following their conscience. What's right and wrong? Well, we all have a conscience, and I have a conscience, and I follow my conscience, and so on and so forth. I remember once upon a time, I know Eshet Torah is very innovative, they keep changing, but I remember they would have one of the interactions with people, or beginners or free beginners, would be somebody would have like a little spiel about is it more important to be happy or whatever, and basically everybody agreed that if you're married and you meet somebody that you like a lot better than your wife, and you would be happier than with your wife, you should drop, regrettably, your first wife and take a second wife. That's pretty much how you lead the conversation. A while later, the speaker tells over an anecdote that he was sitting on a plane, and in front of him was a doctor, obviously a married person with a ring on his finger, and so on and so forth, and he was fooling around with a young girl and this and that, and, you know, by the tone of her voice, everybody is very, very upset and disappointed, and so on and so forth. And then he springs the obvious trap. Well, if being happier is more important than being loyal, the doctor seemed quite happy with what he was doing at the time, so what's the problem? And, you know, people go back and forth and hem and haw, and the point of the story is that the conscience goes with you wherever you want to take it and doesn't really determine anything. But to some degree, it's true and it's not true. The conscience, what we call the conscience, is the chelik, the nefesh in a person that has the sensitivity to sense right and wrong. It's a horrible guide. It's just like business intuition is what separates a great businessman from a good businessman, but you can't really quantify to intuition. It's not something you can really, and you can't depend on it. You're just happy that you have it, and you learn to trust it, and that's it. Conscience is the same thing. It is the ability for a person to deher. Because a person has a chelik alekayim imal, he can deher something that is alikus. So the right definition for a nefesh alekis, for chelik alekayim imal, means there's a sense in a person, there's an akut in a person that actually can taste, can deher alekus. It feels satisfied when it has it. It feels deprived when it doesn't have it. It feels repulsed or abhorred if it's wrong, and so on. It in a person's mind, this is one of the many things, and it's certainly, it comes muddled with a lot of negias and a lot of other things, but by and large, that's what it is. So he says, so bal karchoch, if a person has the sense of right and wrong in him, and in that a person is unique from all balachayim. If you ask yourself, how is a person unique? So they have all these things about animals. They can count a certain amount. They can devise different tools, crows, and this and that. Yes, because all of those chachmas are within the context of a physical world, and we don't presuppose that an animal has no intelligence. An animal has some intelligence. So if you want to draw the line, because people make tools and animals don't make tools, then animals make some tools. Some of them, you know, so it's not a good division. But that the hair of good and bad, we firmly believe, Rabbeinu Shlomo, it's only shayach to human being, period. It's not shayach to Baal Chayim. Yes, Moses.
What are we talking about? Like, for example, a hoax. You know, if it, there's a certain realm of sensitivities or conscience where it's
right.
talking about a moral.
So for a chok, you would need to have a very high neshama to the heret. You know, we can a person who's a kaddish, the heres kashrus. You know, you have the stories with the Chavetz Chaim, and you know, and the Chayin Hala, that they served him food, and something about it, he just didn't want to take it. So it's a pshat, it's a very, very refined nefesh aleikis that's able to set it. A chok just means it has no mahalach to be sincere whatsoever. Things that are not chok straddle. We have with our minds that giving is a good thing and sensitivity is a good thing, etc., etc. We don't have any mahalach whatsoever, but we can deher it with that type of premise. Yes.
I was just playing more stories about the chamor of whoever, the shemar didn't want to work on Shabbos because it was Shabbos.
Good question. Is there a grave dedicated to Chamor? Is there Mokum Kodesh to Chamor of Pirzviah? No. It's not a Maila on the Chamor. It's because of Pirz Ben Yoriz was the Bailam on it. Like it says in Rashi, says, by Stay Ephron, by Yokum Stay Ephron, Tkuma Hoysaloi. It's because Kinyonim are an extension of the person's own metzias that it kicks up that quality. You'll see, for instance, you'll see sometimes, let's say a child who himself has very little seich, like a child that has some disability, you know, some really severe development issue. But sometimes you see the edelkeit from a home that he just picked up because this is the home he's in, even though he could not have thought of it. The chamor of Pinchas Yoriz is not a milut. It has nothing to do with the chamor. It has to do with Pinchas Yoriz. Pinchas Yoriz's kedusha was such that all his balachayim also carried that. So like Vayakum Se'efron, Tkuma Hoysaloi.
Like the animals by the Dharma.
Like the animals of the Dharma, they were hushchas. It's like you see an animal of a person who's neurotic or whatever it is, it'll take on traits. It's not mitzad the milut of the chamor. It's mitzad the kedusha of Pinchas Yoriz. Because it was his sin. Yeah, someone else wanted? Okay. So Bim Tisha Vatoime. Im Kane says, so now he has a problem. Hari kola pulosom yuchodis kolech dechna nivroim. Ha pulos mischaisan im ato in a shanim pulosom. I mean, you take a horse. Within a week, he's running. You know, there's no problems with it. It runs. Volom is a gun pulos a loikis him a mitzvah not a matzvah. So if this is natural to a person, or certain to the Klai Yisrael, that these are his natural pulos, why don't you find that? Dov is ein shayla. Kim royeshe ela pulos bois mina adam. Halayetzer rosh bar adam who mevi ela pulos aros. Shabos mina mitzarayetzer rosh boy. The reason why a person does not perform naturally is because he eats a hara. Vazeh chich mashabin ala shalom es Yisrael va'oma. Hazino hashemayim v'chuluk v'sporei prokim aboyim. Lodiya she'en zofi yasei deklau. So he mentions the following. Let's point out the Nekuri is saying, and then we'll explain it. I mean, you find Rashi's. It says, "Hasin Hashemayim v'Oretz." Moshe Rabbeinu was Machiach Kol Yisrael. Shemayim and Oretz don't get any schar or onesh, and yet they do Ratzon Borei. You fellows, certainly you're getting schar and onesh. Certainly you should be doing Ratzon Borei. Well, the obvious question is, yeah, if I had a Yitzhara like Shemayim Varetz, I'd also do Ratzon HaBorei, but they don't have a Yitzhara. What's the Raya? What's the Raya for Shemayim Varetz? And Shaya Novi gets up and he says, you know, Yodashor Koneya V'chamar Yavaz Bolov, and so on and so forth. Well, again, that's... So his explanation is as follows. It's not that... We think of ourselves as follows. We are neutral observers. Kadosh Baruch Hu put us down as neutral people. There's a Yitzhara here, it's a Tov there, and they're fighting it out. There's a Batchen, Yankel Miller, I'm sure most of you have heard of him, Chassidish Batchen. And you know which joke also? I see the smile. And he said, you know, today's generation doesn't know what Milchemes HaYetzer is. He said, when I got married, I let my father know that I get up 3:30 every morning for a Seder and a Kviyas. And that was sort of part of what made the siddur. He said, first night, 3:30 in the morning, alarm clocks off, wakes up, get up, says the Yitzhara comes and says, Yankel, what are you talking about? You're just married. No way. Yitzhara says, don't let him get you there. Yitzhara says, it's mamish usher. Yitzhara tells us this. He says, 8 hours I laid back and they fought this murderous battle. He says, 8 hours. He says, that's a Mohammed Yitzhara. He says, the, that's the way we picture it. It's not like that. And that's the point that he's making here. Our natural inclination is toiv. The Yitzhara pushes the person, and the Yitzhara tov unlodges it, but when it snaps back into place, it's there. In other words, when a person is mekarev somebody, let's say, when you try to make somebody frum, so the person, you look at me and say, oh, he's not doing, he doesn't know anything, he's just not doing good, not too bad, and I'm now going to dump a big burden of all sorts of mitzvahs and chiyuvim and stuff like that on him. But it's better, it's gooder, it's whatever. No. A person's etzem teva is toiv. We've been distorted. But when we snap back into place, we snap back into place. Anybody who's changed, everybody's changed, a person grows and he starts learning, and even a kid who's born from, there's a long process, and learning at first is hard, but once it snaps into place, the right word is it snaps into place, the person feels tevedik. You don't want to first, when you teach a child to give, ask the other person first if he wants, offer him this or that, it's never easy, but once the child learns it, there's something very natural about it. It's natural that I'm not going to sit down and eat first. It's the other person. So since this is be'etzem tev adam, the techacha was, you see that the world does, teva is immutable. There are no changes in teva. And therefore, if a person should not have any changes from, it changes for the bad, since a person's nature should be good, is an unnatural change. And that's Tviya from Shemayim Varetz and so on. Well, ki yetzer leiv adam ra min urav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put a yetzer into a person that, and Adrab, Chazal asked, at what point does it enter a person? Because a person is a person first, and then there's a yetzer. It's something which is tempting a person away, but it's not the atmos of the person. So you have to understand the Esav in the womb. The Pashto Mahalach of Esav Yaakov was that Esav and Yaakov is like a guf and a neshama. Esav was the chutz. He everything about it was chutz. Just like a person, when we say that it's natural for the person to want to do good, we're talking about a person where there's a chibur of a neshama and a guf. The guf alone is a piece of meat and it's not different than any balchai. Take a person who doesn't have any das, he's not different than balchai in the same instincts. So had it been ketikunai, Esav would still suit to Yaakov, and then he would function as an extension of Yaakov, rather the other way around. Omnom. Kol amin mibne adam, yefshir shavim kulam b'maylas nafsham. Is it something that they can't have alike? Ve'im shakol min ibne adam shavim b'toy apneim b'nyaneihem, ein eshavim ma'sheish chelek mem yoyse loikai mizulosam k'ma shiyaduah. The differences between people, in other words, the difference in color skin shouldn't make a difference. The same person. The difference in height shouldn't make a difference. The difference in many things shouldn't make a difference. But in the netiyah, the difference in a person is in his netiyah ruchnias. There's different madregas that you're born with, and there is also different netiyahs. L'marshal, Chazal say, k'shem shem patzofeim doimois, kachin der sem shavois. Just like their faces are different, so too their deos. Deos in this part means das lekim. It means their nefesh, their perception. The parts of a person. Let's explain the difference. Every person's body is also different. If you measure everybody, I mean, fingerprints are different. So you could have said just like everybody's fingerprint is different. You could have said just like every, you know, and before that, fingerprints used to measure the length of different bones and width, and pretty much everybody's goof is different in some way. But the word is the parts of Fayim is the chelek, the most visible. It's very hard to identify a person not on his parts of, just based on his body. You need a laboratory to get the exact weight, height. You don't recognize a person. On a parts of it, where you recognize the shinui of the people. The Rambam says in when he speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu, when he asked Harenis Kvaidecha, what did he want? You can't see Akadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. So the Rambam says he wanted to be able to tell him apart from other. He wanted to have the sharp clarity of knowledge, just as if a person knows somebody panim al panim. And he can tell him apart from anybody else in the crowd, as opposed to when you know his back, where you could be mishayaret maybe. When you see somebody walking, you see his back, not walking, you see the back of somebody, you're mishayaret, it's a little tall, it's a little slouching, it's a little this, it must be Reuven, Shimon, and so on. When you see a person's pants, if you have a hakar in it. So each person's uniqueness expresses itself in the pants, and that's why his day is different. So too a person's pnimius. Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh was meyuchot to Chal Yisrael. Let's stop a minute and talk about this. First of all, when people speak about what's unique about Chal Yisrael, so everybody says Jews are smart. If you're not Jewish, you say they like money. If you are Jewish, you say they like money. That's, you know, these are all kind of... And we ask ourselves, so everybody thinks being smart, kind of. That's very... It's not true. It's not true in the sense, it's not a dark house. It could be we are smart, but we're not smart. That's not... It doesn't say anything about it, and it's not what we're unique about. Klausel is unique that we have a hachana for ruchnius in a way that no other umma has. We don't have it automatically either. If a person is a chayte, he's a chayte, and that's that. But in terms of an ability for ruchnius, I want to, he mentions the nevuah, and I want to talk about it a little bit. The Rambam says, I mean, everything, bechira is absolute. And a person, reshusnit and ladam, he can be like anybody. He can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. He can supersede Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu has a few averus on his cheshbon, so to speak, and I mean, Chazal, the Torah says, and we could be tzaddikim gemurah. However, when it comes to nevuah, the Rambam says that a navi, which he explains how a navi became a navi and how he trained himself and so on, and he'd be making himself for nevuah. And then the Rambam says, and it could be nevuah would come, and it could be nevuah wouldn't come. It's a madrega. Everything until nevuah, a person is the bialim. He has bechira, he's satishmai, and everything's good. But at the end of the day, there's no such thing. In the mesilas yisharim sulam, the mesilas yisharim is doable from A to Z. You know, I mean, it's unique. You know, you have to be extraordinary, but there's no be'etzim mania from it. Rav Chaim Vital has a sefer Shari Kedusha. It was written because a lot of people have tried to get to a HaKadosh and having a hard time with it, so he wrote a handbook for it. It's not difficult. The first paragraph is you can't do any sermon whatsoever, and you can't do ever any essays or if there are bonus, or certainly we're starting past the point and whatever, and then it goes weiter. But you can get to a HaKadosh. The Ruach HaKodesh is up to a person because it's part of the that tool. Nevuah is very different. Nevuah, and the Rambam builds it because by Yirmiyahu Navi and Talmud and so on, it's built around Chazal. And the reason is Nevuah, it's something which is Be'etzim Ashraf Makadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a koyach in a person to receive nevuah, but people vary as to, there are the distinctions, every person is different in this oifen, and sometimes Kasson chooses, sometimes not. So there is an element of Nebuah that's a Chana B'Nefesh Adam, and Klal Yisrael are the ones that have that ability. Almost all of them don't have that ability. Kadosh Baruch Hu made an exception with Bilam for a Tachlis, and what he showed was that when you put electricity through a circuit that's not built for it, you don't get good results. That was the result. That was the Bilam experiment. It showed that Leibich Dia Kadosh Baruch Hu is not Mashu Shchinas Namzaylam. Because if you are Master Shinam, you get a churban and not something good. So Klal Yisrael is miyuchad. The nefesh of the kus can attain a dagger that shaych to nevuah. That's what Shem Ben was espoused. In this sense, Klal Yisrael is more of a nefesh loikis. Right.
Do you think that Klal Yisrael, as a result of the fact that we have this
a conscience,
a conscience,
what we call a conscience, is one manifestation of that nefesh elokis. It means the most elementary aspect of it. It's just like saying a person is alive when he can feel something. If you stick pins in a person and there's no reaction, then we say he's dead. So the feeling of the sensitivity to ruchnius, that's a person's conscience. The nefesh lakis is next, the broader aspect of it is, it allows him to create a kesher of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and absorb more, and that's nevuah and / ruach HaKodesh. But conscience is, what we call conscience is an example where we sense that which is called nefesh lakis. It's not the entirety of it. It's not the entire description. Yes, it's a symptom. What's the word? I don't know if the word's a symptom, or it's a display of it. It's a display of the nefesh elokis at work. Is when you do something not right, and the conscience bothers you.
So
Klal Yisrael, yes, Klal Yisrael has. One would assume a heightened conscience would be more part of it, and you know, Chazal, when they speak about Reach Begodav, Reach Boigdav, that even the lowest people of Klal Yisrael, there came points where they were completely abhorred, and you know, they wouldn't, so on and so forth. V'gamze murchach loyma v'zeh ke oylam azeh shu b'min me'odom oylam ha'teva ulefika chadova shu tivi ror she'motzi b'chol ha'min b'shoveh. Let's explain what he means over here. How do we describe something if it's natural or not? Let's say we have a chassidish rebbe, Baal Moifis, and every week Thursday afternoon he snaps his fingers and the table jumps up and goes down again. Is that natural or not natural? How do I describe something as natural? You know, the first person who saw an X-ray in his life, they were overwhelmed. I mean, is it natural to see what's inside your hand? First X-rays is don't shamakach. So how do we define something that's tivi or not tivi? So the most elementary definition of it is that there's a klal that's always followed. If a scientist can make a law and the law works every time, that's defined as teva. So every time, if you take anything, if you take uranium and a person's hand. And a photographic plate, and it always shines, that's teva. If you make a klal and you say, depending on how much radiation there is, that's how thick of a bone it can go through, and it proves it, it makes it even more rooted. In our world, regularity, things that happen always are defined as the teva of the world. Things that don't happen always can't repeat themselves. happen in different ways, that goes out chutz me'ateva. So if every person has the same basic capabilities, we all can run X amount of miles, we can all, unless at the extremes you have a great athlete or very sick people, but everything comes more, so in mitzad our teva, we all fit into a medical textbook. We're all part of pretty much the same, and you know, there's a certain continuum of better, worse, and so on. In terms of nefesh aloikis, since it's not part and parcel of our of this world, it's not going to follow a regular pattern. Different people have varying amounts of neshamas that have different capacities. In as far as physically, we're like umas olam. The one says the difference is because they strutzim and the velus, and we don't. But that's what we put into it. But physically, a person is not different, and everybody more or less falls under the same rubric of normalcy. Ruchnius, since it's not part of this world, it's not like that, and that's why nevuah that we mentioned before. Nevuah is meant to be otherworldly, and that's the difference. The muscle. But you've seen a machine and a person. There was once an old. There was the debate about machine having seichel. Can they have intelligence or not? It goes back to the 50s, the 40s, maybe. And somebody once proposed the following thought experiment to show that machines can never attain what we call human mahalo. The following question was raised. If you get a phone call, can you tell if it's a machine or a person? Obviously, we're talking about a good voice, and so if it's a computer calls you up, I mean, when I read it, it was considered this was like a very highly, this was like just a very thought experiment. Today, it's when it's Ma'aseh B'Chol Yom. So you get a phone call. And the same voice says, hello, good morning, we'd like to tell you our specials we have today, and so on and so forth. So we can pick up it's a machine because it comes every day in the morning at 8 o'clock, and so on and so forth, and same nusach. Let's say the machine is more sophisticated. Let's say it starts alternating every other day. Let's say, and Sundays yes, Sundays not, and so on and so forth, and it keeps on... You get it more and more complex. The answer is, no matter how complex it gets, it's going to be following some formula, some algorithm. You can't program a computer to say, do what you feel like. You know what the hardest thing for a computer to do is? It's very interesting. This is where this came from, this experiment. Picking random numbers. The first use they wanted after computers was, instead of the lottery having balls rolling and cards and dice and that, let a computer pick at random. And the programmer started scratching his head. How do you program at random? What is a program for at random? There are programs for at random, but at random doesn't mean anything. It means, what it does is it takes a whole bunch of factors, like it measures a certain, what they call white noise. It'll divide it by the amount of computations done in the last 3 seconds, multiplied by something else. What it does is it simply takes a lot of numbers and crunches them in a way that no one's ever going to hop what the machine is doing. But Be'etzem, there's no way to mechanically describe random. A person, the type of people that we know exactly what they're going to say at 8 o'clock every morning, we stay away from them. That's not the type of people that we're kind of very, very into. One of my children worked once in a stint in some sort of, I think it was like a nursing home that they had all sorts of different interesting people there, and one was a person that at 8 o'clock every morning he would get dressed from top to bottom, walk downstairs, walk back up again, like it was a whole routine on the clock. It's not human. That's not a human quality. So teva, the inyanim, and this is one of the reasons why. When people start to speak about things that happen, bad things that happen, chas shalom, and you pick up why it happened, averus and the mitzvahs, this and that. If the answers are simple, they're always wrong. Yes, this happened because of this. Well, there's 65 other times it happened and didn't happen, and it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a machine. If Shemir Shabbos was a machine, then it would stop being out of Teva, and it would start becoming Teva. Every time you put your hand in a socket, you get a jolt. That's Teva. The Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world of Chavrach, in this world, not in the world to come, is personal in a sense. We pick up on it. When there's a Sarach HaShalom, we know that something's happened and we need to be stuck in Jochenu. But the regularity of being able just stick it like, you know, in a mailbox, this and that, it's going against the grain of this Indian. Anything that comes from the world that's not Teva, it's not going to be a clock. It's not mechanical, it's not a clock, and so on. Yes?
Well, for example, though, let's say if we're talking about the interface, let's say, between the Olam HaGash and Ruach, so we have, like, it says, like, near mitzvah, Torah, or, other
right.
That when I do a mitzvah, it causes some sort of something that...
Correct, but it's suffused. It's like, let's give an example. If a person buys his wife a present, so he knows it makes him in a good mood, and the house is more cheerful. Sometimes it expresses itself A, sometimes in B, sometimes in C. You would really think it's strange that, okay, every time I buy a present, a day later, it's roast beef, my favorite roast beef for dinner. If it becomes that, then it's a restaurant. It's not a home. You get a sense of it engenders a good mood that creates, it creates a good feeling and it expresses itself in different ways. When we do mitzvahs, yes, it gives a dan haga upon him seichakos. It gives it a positive sense. But again, not with the preciseness and not with the mechanical tit for tat that people try to do it, attach it. Okay, let's just see. Let's finish the paragraph. Avolim zeh olam ha'teva ve'enam ha'divah v'dovah zeh mechayev she'nimtza loikis v'cholam min b'shava ki'im b'chelek v'menu. So the very fact, just like on a mechanical level, you have to treat, legally you have to treat everybody equal. So, you know, somebody, you know, buys stuff, or somebody comes to a court, whatever it is. But on a personal level, there are people we like very much. There are people we like somewhat. There are people that we really don't like, because anything that has to do not with Teva is going to be different. In Ruchas like that, it's not even, because if it was even, then it wouldn't be from another world. Then it would be part of a person's physical self. So on the physical level, people are pretty much the same. On a ruchnistic level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created differences because that's the nature of it, and Klal Yisrael is going to be different than Umos Olam in terms of the level of mitzvahs and so on, which is going to explain that Umos Olam has time to say no, Klal Yisrael has time mitzvahs. It has to do with the affinity for ruchnis that Klal Yisrael possesses. Yeah. So those things are not really, you know, it's more ruchnis than us, but if, first of all, the mashal, just saying those shemus, the Rabbi Bechaya says it, and the Rambam says it, it's not a game. If I taught you the shemus, it would be nothing. You have to deher the inyan. It's not saying a bunch of meaningless letters and words. Rabbi Bechaya says it very sharply, and the Rambam, it's the kavana, it's the fact that you're able to be taifis to bria at a certain level. It is a certain ruchnis accomplishment. That's one. And also, that's not really ruchnis in the level that tova and ra is. It is a ruchnis union, but it's close to kishuv, it's parallel to kishuv, and so on. It's not the same, it's not the real ruchnis. And that was one of the reasons why the literature world, shiva world, stayed away from this stuff. The chassidim, Sfarim, to some degree, felt it's mechazik emuna when you're sort of megala these mahalchim of maifsim. The our understanding was that it reduces ruchnius down to mechanical things. So fine. So there are ways how to make money by working. There's ways to make money by business. There's a way to make money by doing shemus. But at the end of the day, it sort of pulls it down to our world instead of saying, well, this whole world is only a platform for something higher than this world, for alma mitzvahs and so on. That's the... Okay, so we'll hold it here. Huh? My wife is going to pick me up. She's she was in New York, so we'll see where she's holding. Yeah, I'm going to save me some.